transmisión desde el Corona Capital. Tenemos a un invitado, como decíamos antes de escuchar esa canción. Tenemos a Jet Vesper. Welcome.
Oh, wait a second.
You're
testing
muted.
Check.
How are you doing?
Jet Vesper's here. Hello.
Yeah.
Se va a estar presentando mañana, que yo estaba confundido con las fechas. You're playing tomorrow, so how you feel right now listening to the bands?
Yeah, I mean, I love the atmosphere of festivals, so it's, I'm getting excited for tomorrow.
You get pumped being here and seeing all the movement?
Yeah, I mean, this is like peak energy level for me. Yeah, I love it.
Nice. So you just released your new album. We're probably expecting a lot of songs from that, but you have not the longest career. So how do you feel like that, being in a festival, finding your identity in sound?
Like the first album, I was just kind of figuring out who I was, you know, like this project was musically, and then the second album I felt like I kind of understood who I was, and that was the one that was released a couple of months ago. So it's a massive honor to be asked to, you know, to play in Corona Capital, which is like your biggest festival here, right?
Yeah. So.
And your sound is like I will say undescribable, man. It's because you know, listening to you, that you have to find yourself yet, but I guess you have found yourself, but it's pretty pretty difficult to put a finger on it, because
I'm glad you're feeling,
because
that way.
because you're blending genres, you know, one time is a bit of funk, and then it's like a very breezy jazz rock, know, and then it's like this futuristic sounds, atmospheres. So it is one thing, but it's not one thing, right?
I need you to like intro me every time. That's a beautiful intro. Thank you.
Yeah. So it's kind of difficult to. Yeah. For instance, for somebody that never has heard Jet Vesper, how would you tell them this is my sound?
Right. I mean, so genres, I'm not a massive fan of genres, but it seems to be the way that people understand music is through genre. And because I don't know any musician like that's been doing it a long time that really thinks about themselves as genre. They think about, oh, these are my heroes, you know, I love this guy, whatever. But unfortunately, we have to kind of generalize our sound to something, and that becomes a genre. So, all that said, I guess I would say, I love soul music and funk music. But, you know, like, I also love pop music, because pop music is the thing that keeps on evolving. And it's the most progressive art form, form of music, really. Because as soon as you put a genre, the definition of a genre is that it's kind of fixed, you know. There hasn't been much movement in jazz or soul or funk. It's like you can't kind of break. You can blend other genres, I guess. But
interesting.
Now I
know why.
Talking about the pop and evolving. This past weekend, Rosalía just released a new album. I don't know what you're
into it.
Charlie XCX, after doing Brad, is doing this score for the movie and working with John Cale and doing a lot of industrial stuff. Do you find that inspiring? What's inspiring you right now?
Rosalía album is incredible. Yeah. And it's I loved her description of it as being, I can't remember her exact words, but basically unapologetically human, you know. And I think that's a great response to where we are with music right now, where we have AI kind of infiltrating our
slowly
our
but
space.
Surely. Yeah.
So I love that album, and it's. Maybe it's the rebirth of concept albums, maybe. She's great.
And what artists or which movements around the globe are inspiring you to listen to new music and try new stuff as a musician, as a composer?
Yeah, I mean, I the music that I listen to, it has like a certain percentage of it feels like it's from the past, and so I do like music that feels. I don't love the word nostalgia, but I guess gives me that nostalgia vibes. But I also really wanted to. I always want music to bring me something fresh. So, yeah, I'm into artists that that do that. So they, yeah, they have, they reference the past, but they're always kind of building on the shoulders of their heroes. I don't know. I could think of a few artists if you want me to name some.
No, it's okay. Just wondering.
So your latest is Daybreak at the Electric. That's your latest album.
That's the first one. So the second one is Casual Viewing Experience.
Oh, what, yeah. Tell us a bit about it. What are we going to find in that production?
Yeah. So it is. I guess that's. I already had the music, all of the music, kind of in mind for the when I started writing this one, and I had a story to tell lyrically. You know, I guess both of the albums are referenced the pandemic in a way, like all of the changes that we went through from a society point of view, and you know, my personal kind of dealing with nihilism and just trying to exist, you know,
yeah,
and trying to be okay and live in the moment. I know that sounds kind of cheesy, but
No. we were there in the pandemic, right?
Yeah, of course.
We were trying to, you know, keep us up in any way. Yeah. So music was your like floating device, so to speak, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how was it for you in the pandemic? Like you were like getting crazy into the lockdown.
Yeah, well, like I had another project, like band project, that finished, that kind of disintegrated in the pandemic.
Oh.
And it was like a really tricky emotional time. But this new project kind of formed out of the pandemic, and I think there was a lot of great things about the pandemic. Like it forced us to reevaluate the value of life and where we want to spend our time. So I think we have the pandemic to thank for that. But you know, that's thinking positively.
Yeah. Well, I think you're in a great place. If after the pandemic you ended up playing,
in the
having
festivals,
two albums,
you know,
playing around in festivals,
yeah. You're here.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Alive.
No, I'm super grateful and thankful.
Yeah. So composition-wise, how do you work? I mean, a lot of artists nowadays, you just, you know, plug into the computer and push some buttons and stuff. Do you still, you know, get to the guitar, the piano, something? What's your process?
Well, it has evolved. Like I'm now writing the third album, and I've actually written all of the lyrics for the whole album,
okay,
but without writing any music, which is something that I started to do in the second album. And I'm just I just find it creates a more, I don't know, honest song, because like the other way, which is the normal way most people write, is they
music
write
and lyrics,
music and then melodies and then lyrics, and so the lyrics kind of get shoehorned into this melody, and it is natural, it's what we do, but I don't know. I'm just liking the songs I'm writing more when I'm writing them lyric first.
Oh.
So the third album is already written from a lyric point of view. It tells a story that that I wanted to tell, and now I just have to write the music.
So in a way you're like kind of putting in an atmosphere to the words, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, I'm trying to write at least two songs to every lyric, if that makes sense. So I'm kind of giving this lyric two chances to exist, and see which vibe works best for the lyrics. And so far I'm liking it, so it's fun.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
Interesting.
How many lyrics do you have? Like, do you have planned? Like, you probably discard some of them.
Yeah.
What's the process?
I've written like 20 lyrics, and so I plan to write like 40 songs, and then cut that down to maybe like 11.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Sounds like a great experience, experience.
Yeah. It's
music.
Like if you have that mindset of like, I can just. If you have a mindset of like there's plenty, like there's music that you can create whatever, then you can, it's easier to create because you create without judgment. You're like, oh, I'm just, well, I can just write another song, you know. And so it becomes easier. I'm not saying it's easy,
yeah.
But and really the hardest part for me is the editing part. So you have like that, for me, I have the, I don't know, 3 hours of whatever, of just vibing out with the song. And then usually I have like the soul of the song is born in that 3 hours, and then it can be months of editing, of like, you know, producing, tweaking sounds, all that kind of stuff, which is super important. Like I'm not, I love doing that as well. It's just that's more like the editor brain, you know.
And you work at your own pace, or do you have any pressures?
I mean, I have internal pressures, and I have like.
Like, you're in a hurry to, you know, oh, I want this motherfucker to, yeah, I want to finish that now.
I do, like, that, so I produce all my music as well, so I'm, the issue with that is that it's hard to have a perspective, because, like, I get oversaturated with the sound of one song, so usually I'm trying to work on, like, at least 3 songs at once. And so then I can, so really, to keep me fresh, I'd, like, work on one song one day, and then the next song, then sorry, the next day I'm working on a different song. And so then I can come back to the first one, and I can feel, I can listen with new ears, because that new ears experience is really, really important.
Do you isolate yourself when you're working on your music? Do you get distracted easily, like all of us?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I did. I'm getting better.
Turn these motherfuckers off. And
Well, there's 2 things I do. One thing is, I turn off, like, internet, turn off my phone. And then I can't remember who gave me this advice, but I give myself permission to write music or do nothing. So I can either, like, look out the window and do nothing, or I can write music. And so those are the 2 options I have.
Nice.
And so looking out the window gets pretty boring pretty fast. And when you don't have internet, it's like, okay, maybe writing music is a good thing to do, you know? So I do. So that's one way out of it. And the other way is, like, I'm working more and more with